Radio Prague News.
Police closed off two IKEA stores in Prague on Friday after a bomb was discovered at the furniture company's Zličín outlet. The Prime Minister has come out against a defense ministry plan to partially reintroduce compulsory military service. And the world record holder Barbara Potáková has taken silver in the women's javelin at the World Championships. Police closed off Prague's IKEA stores in Zličín and Černý Most on Friday and additional stores in Brno and Ostrava over a bomb scare. A bomb was reportedly found by a security guard at the company's Zličín outlet, who removed it and carried it to a garbage container after reportedly cutting the wires. He then called the police. Bomb experts arrived at the scene to assess the threat level and secure the area. Customers were evacuated from the store, but only after it was confirmed the item was functional. The bomb was then dismantled and sent to a lab for investigation. Following the incident, Prague's other IKEA store, Černý Most, across the city was also closed, as were sites in Brno and Ostrava later on. All sites are being searched by specialists with sniffer dogs. Prime Minister Petr Nečas, as well as a number of other Czech politicians, have come out against a defense ministry plan to partially reintroduce compulsory military service, namely in professions the army is having trouble filling. According to public broadcaster Czech TV, the military does not have enough drivers, pilots, mechanics, or IT specialists. In a brief interview for Pravo, the Prime Minister indicated different solutions were needed, pointing to Great Britain's reserve troop system as an example. Other politicians interviewed by the paper, also against the plan, include the deputy chairman of the Lower House's Defense Committee, Jan Vigim, and Social Democrat Shadow Defense Minister Jan Hamáček. The Czech Republic abolished compulsory military service on December the 31st, 2004. Government MPs passed a package of austerity measures in the lower house on Friday affecting welfare and social benefits. The bill will, for example, curb maternity grants and affect sick leave pay. It is the second time the bill has been passed, as earlier this year the Constitutional Court recognized as valid a complaint put forward by the Social Democrats, who disagreed with the original manner the measures were approved in late 2010. At the time, the government called a legislative emergency, a process by which Parliament adopts bills in a shortened procedure to push through the original package. The Constitutional Court ruled its application in this case was unacceptable. However, it gave the government until the end of this year to pass the bill again. Turning to sport, world record holder Barbara Potáková has come second in the women's javelin at the World Championships in South Korea. The Czech competitor threw a season-best 71.58 meters to earn silver, edged only by Russia's Maria Abukumova, who took gold with a throw of 71.99. It is reportedly the first time two women have thrown over 71 meters in the same competition. Potáková, who is coached by men's javelin legend Jan Železný, called this year's competition amazing, and the medal is the first for the Czech team so far. I'm Jan Wellinger. That's the news.
You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Daniela Lazarová. Coming up in today's program, a Moravian village transported to London. The Czech Cultural Centre is gearing up for a big exhibition of visual art in the British capital. We'll give you a roundup of the business news and in today's arts, take a look at Jan Švankmajer's latest film, Surviving Life. And of course, we'll end as usual with another Czech lesson. All that coming away, so do please stay with us. The Czech Cultural Centre in London is gearing up for a big event this weekend, an exhibition of visual art by the Czech-born artist Kateřina Šedá called From Morning Till Night. I asked the head of the centre, Ladislav Flimfel, who was on a brief visit to Prague this week, what it's all about and what else is in the pipeline for London fans of Czech art this autumn.
This Saturday, whole day between the St. Paul's Cathedral and Edmund and Kateřina Šedá, Czech visual artist, is orchestrating a project where 80 villagers from a small Moravian villages are going to move along the boundaries, the virtual boundaries of their village that is drawn on the pavement between St. Paul's and Tate Modern, and they will follow up their daily routines from the village. That's going to be surrounded by 80 local British professional amateur artists who are going to paint a village virtually because they won't see the horizon of that village. And this project was commissioned by Tate Modern and is supported by a number of partners, including Catesna's Italian Gallery. That's the fourth year where Catesna has got a subsequent and consequent project in the UK. And that, of course, attracts a huge attention from the professional media, from members of Tate Modern, people who follow visual arts.
What kind of people come to your gallery and what are they most interested in?
Well, because it's Londoners, that means they, in a good way, they are spoiled. And they're interested in something that is cutting edge, that is new, that is engaging, that is interactive, that's something that really brings them in and that makes them to come. The public that we are working with are people who want to see events that are internationally competitive, things that are bringing something new, and it doesn't matter that it's Czech contemporary art or Central European. If we bring a theme, an artist who's got something to say, and it's something that is recognizable on the London scene or within the UK, we're going to get people who are interested.
So who are the cutting-edge Czech artists that have evoked interest in London?
That is something that is a subject of our continuous interest and research. I already talked about Catesna Sheda, but there is other names that are doing really well. We have 6 or 7 Czech artists that represent a certain generation that is now living and working in London. We have Teresa Bušková, who graduated recently from the Royal College of Arts. We have the graffiti artist Masker. Another artist who is doing really well is Jakub Hošek. Another artist who has been living in London for the last 4 years, following his success at the British Petroleum Portrait Prize at the National Gallery, is Hinek Martinec. There's a number of artists who are doing really well. I suspect some of them are not really well recognized back in the Czech Republic yet, because they seem to be almost completely cut off from their roots. They don't seem to have much of a necessity to keep in touch. They've got their own path of, you know, developing their own artistic expression. They've got their own contacts. They are getting to be known among the galleries, and I really appreciate they are having the energy and the ambition to actually make it on their own in the UK and in London. So we do like watching them and wherever we can working with them.
So what's in the pipeline now? Give people an invite to something that you think is really worth seeing.
If I am to invite people, general public, to come to see events, one of the huge popular ones is always our annual film and performing arts festival called Made in Prague, regularly being hosted by the Riverside Studios in Hammersmith. If I'm to invite people who are professionally interested in Czech art, we have Czech Gallery Hilton Kastner at the Fries Art Fair with a number of accompanying programs. Jiří Kovanda is coming to Symposium Gallery in Birmingham. And if I can invite everybody for something really big, then look forward to the Olympics, because the Czech Center is working with the Czech Olympic Committee and other partners on a large culture season that will celebrate the Olympics, the Games, culture, and the fact that the Czech Olympic House is going to be hosted by Islington, a borough in London with 250,000 people, in a very trendy off-central place with exhibitions, open-air screenings, studio visits, with exhibitions of Czech architecture, design, live concerts. And that is going to be the largest ever season we've done in the UK since about 10 years ago.
Ladislav Flimfel, the head of the Czech Centre in London. Now, this being Friday, it's time to bring you a summary of the business news, for which I'm joined by Sarah Borůvka.
The Czech Lower House of Parliament is voting on a change in value-added tax on Friday. Under the new VAT legislation, the lower VAT rate would be raised from 10 to 14%, while the higher rate would remain at 20% for 1 year prior to the introduction of a universal VAT rate of 17.5% in 2013. The government's approval of a proposed hike in VAT sparked protests from the opposition as well as the majority of the population, and the vote is expected to test the unity of the three-party right of center intergovernment coalition. It is linked to a vote on the pension reform and, if approved, will help finance it. Both Prime Minister Petr Nečas and Finance Minister Miroslav Kalousek had previously attempted to push through a universal VAT of 19%. However, this step was blocked by junior coalition partner Public Affairs.
The Czech Central Bank is investigating state-owned energy giant ČEZ in connection with a leak of its second quarter earnings, a company spokeswoman said Wednesday. In August, the Reuters-Thomson news agency, after more than 200 attempts, managed to access the power giant's net profit data a day ahead of the official release. The report was being prepared for official publication on ČEZ server. The power producer blamed the leak on poor internet security. However, an anonymous source from within the company has claimed that the report was accessible by slightly changing the web address of a previous earnings report. The largest Czech energy producer posted a net profit of 6.72 billion crowns for the second quarter of this year, a drop by nearly 40% year on year.
Czech Airlines will be adding a direct connection to Tel Aviv to its offer. Israeli authorities gave the airline the green light, despite complaints by its competitor, the Czech company Travel Service, which will also be operating flights to Tel Aviv starting October 30th. The exact number of Czech Airlines connections is still being discussed with Israeli authorities. It is likely that pricing for such flights will be competitive due to the fact that two domestic and one foreign carrier are offering connections to the destination from Prague. On the Israeli side, flights to the Czech capital are currently operated by the carrier El Al, with the possibility of other Israeli airlines adding the city to their list of destinations in the future.
The sale of 60-watt light bulbs on the Czech market came to an end on Thursday under a European Commission directive, which calls for the end of their production and distribution within the European Union. The step is expected to save several billion euros across the Union. Last year, member countries discontinued 75-watt light bulbs. The year prior to that, 100-watt light bulbs were taken off the market. According to Czech retailers, an increase in demand for 60-watt light bulbs ahead of them being discontinued did not occur. In 2009, the discontinuations of 100-watt bulbs led to domestic consumers stocking up on them days ahead of the official end of sales. Next year, the EU will no longer be selling any traditional types of incandescent light bulbs and instead replace them with energy-saving bulbs. Halogen lamps will be taken off the market in 2016.
The Italian Michelin-starred chef Andrea Accordi, who is leaving Prague's four-season hotel Allegro restaurant, will be replaced by Richard Fuchs, the first Czech to be hired as head chef at the hotel's restaurant. Mr. Fuchs, who has over 20 years' experience in the hospitality sector, will take up his new position in October. He previously worked at Allegro from 2000 to 2007, as well as cooking in cities like Geneva, Paris, and Alexandria. He says he is looking forward to returning to Allegro restaurant and has announced that together with his team, he will be presenting a new concept in February. The Italian fine dining eatery Allegro became the first restaurant in the former Eastern Bloc to be awarded the prestigious Michelin star in 2008.
A reminder that you're listening to Radio Prague, where it's now time for the arts. It is only every 5 years or so that the renowned Czech animator Jan Švankmajer brings out a new film. Surviving Life came out late last year, and it draws on many of Švankmajer's traditional themes and styles while exploring them through an experimental medium, once again confirming why he is the most acclaimed Czech art house director at home and abroad. Christian Falvey reports.
Evgen is an aging office clerk who has been having some strange dreams lately, largely involving a beautiful woman. When the dreams continue to recur, he seeks the help of a psychoanalyst, not to get rid of them, but instead so he can have even more. When his wife finds out, she tells him to choose whether he wants to live in a dream or in reality. And the choice is obvious, particularly if you know the work of Jan Švankmajer. Whether you are very familiar with the films of Mr. Švankmajer, and even on the odd chance you've never heard of him, Surviving Life, Přežít svůj život, presents a new experience for you. With all the artistic mayhem that a connoisseur of surrealist cinematography demands, but more of the silly comedy that Czechs adore, and less of the horror that typifies a Švankmajer film. Regarding that balance between polar genres, the master animator, who fairly hates giving interviews, told Czech radio that such is life. His other works were comedies as well, he says.
Všechny moje filmy vlastně se tak jako pohybují na tom ostří toho řekněme
horror. All of my films play out on that sharp edge between what we think of as horror and comedy or black humor. I think that our whole lives oscillate in just that way, and they are equivalent to a kind of comedy. So really, all of my films could be called a kind of comedy.
Já našemu životu, takže vlastně všechny moje filmy by se daly nazvat jistou jako komedii.
In any case, Surviving Life should not be catalogued as a comedy or horror, but deserves that special shelf called Švankmajerovský that other international greats like Tim Burton and Terry Gilliam have drawn from. And in that category of experimental animated cinema, the director has changed the rules again, but this time calling it a, quote, poor man's substitute for experimentation, because he couldn't find the money to do otherwise. Surviving Life uses animated photography, a method he says was toyed with in the 1960s, but was never used for a feature-length production with actors until now.
I have to say we didn't do it because I wanted to use new techniques, but because we thought we'd save money. Finding money for the kinds of film I do is becoming harder and harder, and in this case it looked like it was going to be even more difficult than usual. And so I decided that if photographs of the actors were animated, we could move the entire film to the studio.
Plenty of directors would never admit they're having sacrificed art because they were low on cash. Not so Jan Švankmajer, who positively revels in it in his promotion of Surviving Life, and says so himself in an animated introduction to the film. That's a style of prologue that he adopted in his last film, Lunacy. His leading lady, Klára Isová, doesn't really buy it, though.
He was trying something a little bit new, so I think he was surprised as well. He's saying that he chose this technique because he doesn't have enough money to make the whole movie like he was doing it before. But I think it's kind of joke maybe, and he was surprised how it works for the audience and for himself as well.
For all of the actors, this meant an entirely new way of working. For one thing, they hardly ever met each other, which makes reviews praising the actors' chemistry all the better, but spoke their lines into the camera, taking tens of thousands of photographs during 15 days spread out over 1 year.
It's like different kind of work than normal movie. First day we spent just to make like photo pictures of my mouth, saying like la, na, ha, whatever, like combination of some letters. And then like it was combination of making pictures and also making short scenes from the script. So some of them we made on a very old camera. But it was more like not whole scenes, but like sentences, few words or whatever. So it was combination of several things together. And he just put it with his team together in 1 year.
But so doing a film like this, you could have even less of an idea what it was going to look like in the end than you usually would with a normal film.
Of course, yeah. I don't have any idea. And I think he was surprised as well.
Is it something you'd do again?
With him, yes, of course.
ten film vlastně byl napsaný na normální, jako normální hraný film.
The screenplay was written as a feature film with actors, so that's what the actors expected it to be. So there's a lot of dialogue, though even a lot for me. And we had to photograph speech. The photographs actually speak. So I was mouthing the dialogues with them, then we would count the speech out and based on that, make the groundwork for the animators.
Počítali, že jo, to mluvení třeba a podle toho se udělal pro animátory podklad.
Než se nechat zabít, to radši nebudu spát.
Does life on the set of a surrealist film ever become surreal itself?
Maybe a little bit, yeah. For me it was funny that like every time I came there was more stuff around and more people. So like just imagine that it is not new studio. It's like old house and there is so many like stuff. So it looks like in, I don't know, some old factory or something like this. And for me it was funny that in a while like some people came and start to work on computer, some people were doing photographs, some people were just on a set and working with actors. And it was nice, and I saw some pictures of me, and they put like flowers around my head, and I thought, oh my god, I look like Frida Kahlo on her pictures or something like this. So it was nice.
Surviving Life is subtitled a psychoanalytical comedy. The main character is terrified of life, as well as the things that he has lived through without even knowing it. And by consciously entering his own dreams, he is able to relive and understand the painful realities of his life. Dreaminess has always been a defining characteristic of Schwenkmayr's work, but Surviving Life is his first film about dreams, in fact about a dream of his own. He told Czech Radio that he regrets that society puts less stock in dreams than back in the shaman days.
Ta moderní doba, ta samozřejmě ze sny nepočítá, protože, jak říkám...
The modern age doesn't care about dreams, because there's no money in them, and they've been pushed back somewhere to the periphery of the human psyche, which I consider an absolute devaluation of human life. As I say in the introduction, quoting Georg Christoph Lichtenberg, it is only the fusion of dreams and reality that can make what is called a human life. But people eliminate their dreams, get panicked by them, and those people devalue themselves when they don't take dreams seriously and as a part of their lives.
Surviving Life is Jan Schwenkmayr's sixth feature film and certainly need not be the lively 76-year-old's last. But in any case, since a Schwenkmayr production only comes around once every 5 years or so, it is not an event to be missed.
Christian Falvey there. Now, as regular listeners know, we always end the show with a Czech lesson for you to pick up the odd expression or simply to enjoy. Christian Falvey is staying with us for today's edition of Soundcheck.
Hello and welcome to this week's Soundcheck, which this week sounds less Czech and more German. This time we're going to be looking at German words that are commonly used in Czech, and to introduce a popular example, I've chosen the song Ksicht by the well-known ska band Sto Zvířat, or 100 Animals. Mám svůj ksicht rád, I like my face. The words you'd usually use for face in Czech are obličej or tvář, but sometimes the German word Gesicht is used colloquially to take away any thought of a sweet, smiling or pretty face. To better understand the sense, take the verb form of the word ksichtice, which means to make ugly faces. Perhaps, as German can sound rather harsh to foreign ears, a lot of the Czech words borrowed from German mean the more distasteful version of a thing. For example, a normal father in Czech is otec, a nasty father, fotr. A normal pub is hospoda, a more seedy pub might be called knajpa. Average everyday socks are ponožky in Czech, literally something that goes over the foot,
while the German word for the same thing becomes the Czech fusekle, which has a slightly ridiculous connotation. So when the 100 animals sing Mám svůj ksicht rád, a better translation might be I like my ugly mug. But that's just one interesting use of German words in Czech. It isn't representative of the hundreds of originally German words used in common day-to-day Czech. The German word for cushion, for example, is Czechified to mean a pillow, polštář. And the Czech word for bottle, láhev, is just as often replaced with the borrowed word flaška. There are so many Czech borrowings from German that have to do with work or craftsmanship, it can seem there is a whole branch of casual Czech vocabulary that is a kind of homage to German industriousness. The Czech word Geschäft, usually meaning a job, comes from the German word for business. To work at a feverish pace in Czech is Makat, from the German word to make, and the borrowed word Fachčit has a similar meaning. That's a lot of words from a people the Slavs call Němci, literally people who are mute. But the last one we have time for today will be the borrowed word for goodbye. Čus.
Christian Falvey with that edition of Soundcheck. You will find the whole series, which we are currently repeating, on our webpage at radio.cz. Should you like to contact us, then our email address is english@radio.cz. This is Daniela Lazarová saying thanks for joining us today and goodbye.